Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, we'll look at Psalm 90, portions of Psalm 90. Note, it says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Not many, in fact, I think this might be the only one, the only psalm attributed to Moses, if I remember this right. Moses. And you can just imagine, perhaps, the sense of weariness with which he writes. If you read through this earlier in the service with us there is a heaviness to these words. Perhaps this is Moses writing at the end of 40 long years in the wilderness, after he has lived with the people of Israel under the judgment of God for their lack of trust in him, and they have been forced to wander in the wilderness for those 40 years before they could taste the sweetness of the promised land. There is that kind of a heaviness in what Moses writes here. But yet it's not a despairing tone. It is a repentant tone. It is a humble tone. It is a thoughtful tone. A tone that I think serves us well as we mark the passing of time into a new year. If you look at the beginning of this, he says, note the contrast between God and humanity, right? The eternal God and the very temporary condition of our human lot, especially under the weight of sin and the curse. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So Moses begins with a note of confidence, of trust in God, of a note of confessing who God is from everlasting to everlasting. God is the eternal one, who has no beginning and no end. Before the mountains were born, before the world and all of its people and creatures were created, God is. God has always been. And in the midst of that, Moses considers that even as they have wandered in the wilderness, God is the one. This eternal God is the one that has been their dwelling place, their fortress, their protection. Verse 3, though Moses acknowledges their plight, our plight, you, God, turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. So here is the eternal God, from everlasting to everlasting, with whom a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And we compare that with us, who in the span of eternity is more like the grass that sprouts in the morning and by the afternoon sun withers away. Our lives are a blip in that eternal span of history in comparison to the eternal and holy God. And Moses acknowledges our fates because of our sins. Because of God's righteous judgment, we are returned to dust. Right? That's what he told to Adam and Eve in the garden. After Adam had eaten of the fruit and his wife as well, he had told them, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And under that sentence, when God is pronouncing sentence, he says, dust you are, and to dust you will return. Right? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Moses remembers this, and he has seen it 40 years in the wilderness, that entire generation of those that stood outside their tents in fear and refused to go into the promised land. That entire generation has fallen dead in the wilderness. Moses has seen it. We are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our years is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Again, the human struggle under the judgment of God, the curse. We struggle out these years, and so much of it is toil and hardship. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. And here is something, here he prays. And he says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses prays that God would give us perspective, that God would give us an understanding of the shortness of our days in view of the God who is from everlasting to everlasting God. That God would give to us a perspective that is one of trust and hope in this everlasting God, even in the face of the often weary struggle of our own human frailty in the face of death. And this is good. This is a good thing to ponder as we pass from one year into the next. Now, in many ways, right, January 1st, 2018 is no different than tomorrow will be, December 31st, 2017. In many ways, there's no difference whatsoever. But it is the custom of our culture to mark and note the passage of one year into the next. And the practice of our government to box things off for tax purposes, right? But nevertheless, it's healthy. I think it is healthy to pause and note the passage of time and pray with Moses that God would teach us to number our days aright, that we would gain a heart of wisdom. Considering our place in the span of eternity can be incredibly humbling. We are, as he says, and as the scriptures elsewhere tell us, we are but a moment. James says we are a vapor, a mist that passes away and is gone. Like that grass and the flowers of the field, we are here for a season, we burst into bloom, and then we are gone from this world stage. In this light, on the one hand, we are so very insignificant. Right, just have you ever kind of imagined a spotlight on you or a zoom lens on you, and then that lens kind of backing out farther and farther as you'd kind of maybe drift up from the earth, and you'd see, at first you'd see a lot of the details around you and even of you as an individual, but the farther and farther back you go, you'd lose sight of you altogether. Imagine trying to see you from the deep reaches of outer space. You are, each one of us, such an insignificant little speck in the universe. And then in the span of history, that's very humbling. It should be. It should be incredibly humbling to consider ourselves in that way. On the other hand, attention to our brevity in this span can also heighten our sense of urgency and the importance of the moments of life that we are given. This season right now is what we've been given. We are planted here for such a time as this. We and no others. And we have been invested by God with all sorts of abilities and talents and opportunities to make a real difference in this world. We've been given real relationships by God. We've been given real opportunities by God. We stand, in this moment of time, we stand on the shoulders of humanity with all of their labor and toil, with all of their technological advances and moral setbacks, with all of the wars and calamities that have been endured, with all of its joys and sorrows, with all of its periods of discovery and stagnation, knowledge and gained and insights wasted, we are here right at this moment with all of the gifts and all of the challenges that our age provides. That's us, right here. So what will we do with what we've been given? What will we do with it? We're not in this moment of human history by chance. The scriptures tell us that each generation, this is true, that God has determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Your life is no accident. It's intentional. God brought you to life at this point in human history. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of a mighty and loving God. And you are bought at a price. His Son was given for you that God would claim you as His own. So on the one hand, we are these insignificant specks. On the other, we are that speck in the very center of the eye of God that He cherishes and loves, the apple of His eye, on whom He has set His affections. And that should be both inspiring and empowering and also, again, incredibly humbling. Who am I that God would so love me? Who are we that He would give His life for us and endure the torments of hell on the cross so that we could be His own? That's amazing. And here we are, created by God, bought with the blood of Jesus, placed here right now. To what has God called you? What is God? Where has God placed you? Some of you are called to be parents. Some are called to be a husband, a wife, a friend, a child, a son or a daughter, a sibling. You're called into a workplace, a school. You're called to be a citizen, a neighbor. We each have so many callings. God has placed you right there in the midst of so many relationships and so many opportunities. As I consider these questions and I look back over the last year, again, on the one hand, I can easily be discouraged, and rightly so. I'm disappointed in myself as I considered squandered moments or even years of opportunities. I'm humbled. And I'm drawn to cry out to God with a cry of repentance and asking for forgiveness. Do you do that? Do you reflect over the last year? Do you have a notebook or your pictures or something that you can kind of call to mind the different times of the year and the different things that you achieved or failed to achieve? I do that to some extent. I look back and I consider the opportunities, and again, many times I am brought to repentance. God, forgive me. You placed this opportunity right in front of me, and I failed to reach out and move forward. People that I failed to engage with as I should have. Opportunities with my kids that I've let slip by. Any number of things. God, forgive me. It's humbling in this vast span of time to be given this opportunity and then to see how I've wasted it oftentimes. God, forgive me. But as much as I may be discouraged, I'm also excited because here we are. Here we are at the dawn of a new year with the blessing of Almighty God. Again, a people bought with the blood of Jesus, filled with His Holy Spirit, given a new day. We are, as Paul tells us, in Christ, new creations. As often as we return to our baptism, as often as we return in repentance to God, we are a new creation. We have a new beginning, not just on January 1st, 2018, but on January 21st, and on April 30th, and July 2nd, and November 8th, and next December 24th. Each day, As we return to God in humility and repentance and trust, each day we are a new creation. And we have new opportunities in front of us. New ways that we can serve God and serve the people around us. So what will we do with those opportunities? What will we do? I'm excited to go into tomorrow and the day after that. Because even as I spring up like grass and quickly fade away, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is my God, and he is your God. And he is with us every moment of our days and into eternity. Into eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in time. We thank you that you have given us life and that you have bought us with the holy blood of your Son. We ask, Lord, that you would keep us humble and repentant, but also filled with trust and hope. For you are our God from everlasting to everlasting. You are our fortress, our strength, our dwelling place. And Father, we ask that you would go with us into this new year, and that you would lead us, and that you would direct us, and that we would walk in the love of Jesus and do much good to your glory and the praise of your name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.